Session number 11106, Mr. T. Wilson, Reel 2.
What was the barrack room building like, Mr. Wilson? Were you up on a first floor or on the ground floor?
The barrack room was there, a square. There was a room there and a room there in the passageway. Then there's a staircase, and it'd be the same, a room there and a room there above it. There's some more like four barrack rooms.
Split by a staircase?
Split by a staircase. And I'll be just a four. Then the next block, it would be the same. Exactly the same.
And were they warm buildings? Were they in good condition?
Yes, a good solid block, but as regards warm, well, no. You've got three blankets, and you have to keep yourself warm. There's a fire in them, the only one that be deprived of heat, but in the summer, if you caught in the summer, well, you really didn't need it. Only if you caught in the winter, well, there you are, you'd be provided for, but not a great deal, but you were provided for, but in the summer, well, it was not necessary. But there were the four blocks, each block had two either side, and then two upstairs, and then the staircase for them down. And then there'd be another one in the same season, another one in the same season, only completed what they want.
And did you have bedside lockers?
You had a locker above your bed, painted green more or less, it was a green locker. Then you had a little bed card, a little brass bed card, with your name and number on it. Which, as I told you before, I get to the territorials.
And three blankets, you said?
Oh, yes, three blankets.
What kit had you been issued with when you actually, when they actually got round to giving you your first items?
Well, you got underwear, was this. You got two sets of underwear, two shirts, two towels, two pair of boots. Then you got what they call a hold all, which read, were knife, fork, spoon, razor, comb, and ladder brush. Then the housewife, needles, and threading. Then, yeah, two hats. One was termed as your good, your best, and one was termed as your second best. And then you got issued of two, what they call canvas suits, like denim, termed as denims now. That was for the flappers drilling and things like that. Once you got used to being a soldier and uniform, the drill is a soldier in uniform, but you drilled in these jackets and trousers, more like denims they are now, terms of denims. Once you got, so you wouldn't more or less damage them. When you were real good at drilling, well, you start drilling as a soldier, but you drilled first of all in the end. You had two sets of putties as well. You know,
is the wrap-round putties?
Wrap-round putties. And they had the.
How did you put those on?
Well, you started at the bottom, and you used to work your way up when you got them perfect as you wanted, and then, which many times you start again. But with practice, and you knew the width, and where it had to finish, that to finish in a certain. Done the same your trousers, you know, say, well, which you did. But after a while, you did, you get used to it, and then it was easy.
Items of equipment, webbing and that kind of thing, were there leather belts or webbing belts?
Web. Was all web.
And what kind of bags and things did you have?
Well, what they called chevrons, weren't they? I tell them the chevrons. You had the two bugles for your colour here, and then you had one on here and DLA on there. So that would be like two either side, and two here. That was six at the clean with your buttons, and you got two sets of those as well, and you know, and two cab badges. And the old trouble was everybody's cab badge was the same. You know, they done made them the bugle and their doings. So what you doing? You have to scratch your name on it at the back of your cab badge, because fellas who were foolish enough, they lost their cab badge. They could get another one, but they'll charge for it. So what do? You used to get your name on the, scratch it on, you know, and scratch it on the back.
Was there much stealing of equipment from others?
Very, very little. As a matter of fact, I can only remember one incident in the 6 months I spent at Fenham Barracks, somebody taking something. Well, I think only one incident, and that was still the 3 or 4 squads.
Can you describe the webbing equipment that you had?
Well, the webbing, it was flat. So it had like 2 sets of pouches on the top and 3 sets of pouches on the bottom. And they clipped onto the belt with the shoulder straps. And each pocket had to be clipped on. And we had the horrible job of cleaning the back and the front, because they were brass. They had to be cleaned back and front. You know, not just clean the little rolls at the front. It had to be cleaned back and front.
And you would have packs then to add to this. What were they like?
Well, the packs, I think they're about 19 pounds, I think. I'm not sure the weight, but a square pack and a haversack and a water bottle.
And what was carried in the packs?
Well, more or less, be your top coat. Your top coat always went in there. Then, I think it'd be a blanket. And your mess tin. And then the haversack would be you have loose and stuff, such as your towel, razor comb, lather brush, and things like that. Oh, by the way, you've got a set of brushes as well, mind. Oh, yes, you've got a full set of brushes. As a matter of fact, I'm still using an army airbrush now. I'm still using an army airbrush now. You can see the state of my hair. And I still use an army airbrush now. I'll never get another one, I know that.
Keeping it clean, you've mentioned polishing and so forth. Yes. Were there tricks that you learned for keeping them clean and bringing them up to a high polish?
Oh, yes. Well, I'll tell you, first thing, you know, your cab badge. But when you first got it, it was, you know, just like metal. Well, if you got a bit old putty on the board, and you kept rubbing it and put a bit metal poly, we call Meepo, just metal polish on slightly, when you got like silver. Same as your boots.
How did you bring your boots up?
Hard work, but you see, it was a toothbrush handle, what they call a bonin. Because, you know, they were being in the storage and things like that, they'd be greased and things like that. You want to get that out. And then rub it and graze it. And then to finish, you get a bit fine cloth and done your finger like that, and you go like that, what the term, magic circles. So that's what gets that extra polish on any shoes, but it takes hours and hours, but you've got plenty of time to do that because you had the money to go up and spend. So you spend most time polishing the boots. As a matter of fact, and your white belt, you know, you had a white, when you did go out, you had a white belt. Well, those things was piled up together. And we used to work hard on each other. Well, as I said, Donoghue, what joined up with us, I would do his white belt, Tommy Oliver would do his boots for to get him out. And that same chap ended up as an officer. Because I've seen my white belt, unfortunately, because it's a boot belt, see? Now, there's some belts like leathery and some made of buff. Well, you got a real buff one, you could blank gold white and make it perfect. And I have been lucky to have a one which would turn up, because I used to do my belts as anybody else's. But mine are always turned out better. And I've seen it's been laid on the table for everybody in the squad to take an example of how one should be done. You know, they'd embarrass me, see? Because I was, if you got a real buff, you know, when in the motor store, you got a real buff, old-fashioned buff, you could do something with it. Other ones were like slippery, leathery, see, but you still had to make it white. And that was it.
So cleaning the boot, you would be spitting on your cloth, for you?
Oh, and yes.
Hence the term spit
yes.
polish.
Oh, yes, you had to, like, what the, go, after doing the bone with a toothbrush handle, spend many hours on that. Because you had the best pair of boots. That's what you did, though. But you didn't know that with your ordinary day boots, you know, where you do your training, your best boots, for ceremonial, what you were off doing everything was ceremonial, now they were kept, as a matter of fact, they had to be at the bottom of your bed, and your gym shoes, had to be, and that, they both had to be clean. Now, if you were wise enough, if a fella was joined up and didn't make the grade, his kit was sold, you know, and you bought the next part of kits with his brushes, and you kept them, or extra cab badges, or extra, you know, into little things like that, it helped you out a lot.
So that was your good pack, your good set that you never wore or touched?
No,
just
never.
Kept them clean.
I've had a set of bushes, because you used to get what they call kit inspections. You had to lay everything on your bed in uniform order.
And how was that laid out? Can you remember?
By heavens. The woolens had to be made at the top of the bed. Then the shirt would be in the middle. And that'd be folded up dead square with the tape showing on with your regiment number. As a matter of fact, I think until a little later on, it was never opened, one shirt, because I purchased another one, that, and it was kept only for kit inspections. And even the tin, you know, when you buy tin of polish, it had to come off. The paint had to come off. Even the tin, the polish, the tin had to be polished. And then we laid out, you know, the knife, fork, spoon, razor, comb and lather brush, button stick and button brush, and all that, you know, laid out. In rotation, your socks folded up in a certain way, like a square, and they had to have your tape sewn on, because you could get tape, you could buy some tape, you know, and the stamps were available. Stamp your number on the tape, then start sewing these tapes on, and that'll learn you up to sew as well.
And how often was there a kit inspection?
Well, at least once a month. Definitely once a month. But really, it was to ensure that the required kit. Now, I can recommend later on in years, Charlie B.A., one of the company commanders, he's an old soldier of the last war, he used to say, shirt, and everybody was wearing a shirt up. Long johns, that you had them. Well, I mean, we were born with it with that type, but didn't often happen often.
If you were short, what happened then?
You got the trouble. Yeah. Well, you're never short. No, you're never short. You might be a lace, like half a lace, somebody, you know, you have those fair pair of laces. You know, that when you mentioned short, remind me, you had those fair pair of laces. And so, well, they get a lace and make two of it, you know. But you kept your kid up to standard, you know what I mean? If you don't want it, you were taught to do, life was easy. It was. Life was easier still. Because there was civilians kicking against the traitors.
Did you come across any men that didn't take to army?
Oh, yes. Not many, though. I remember, they were saying, right, take him down to the bathroom and give him a good scrubbing and things like that.
This was for someone that was particularly dirty?
Wouldn't use soap and water as often as he should. But if we got him down, because he showed us up, you know, say, and we didn't want to do it, but we were told to do it, take him down, well, you had to do what you told. Because that's the idea of the army. They tell you to do a thing, we have got a reason to tell you why you've got to do it. And they'll back you up to the end and buy down it. So So you've got yours and being orders.
Was there any initiation ceremonies or bullying that was going on?
Well, wasn't allowed. Might have been when there's nobody NCOs or anybody in rank about. But never.
But the NCOs and officers didn't take any form of extreme
measures? No, never. No, well, chaps who were picked for the train squads, they were really good at the job themselves. That's why they were sent to the depot. They were termed as a cushy job. They were sent from battalion, but they were more or less experts and intelligent people themselves, you know. A bit above average.
Gambling, then? Was there any gambling going on? Was it allowed?
No. Definitely not. Definitely not. Well, you had nothing to gamble, really. You would the same fella spin up and things like that, like when nobody was there, or like changing for a little sort of thing, and you might swap something for swap something else, but gambling definitely not.
Do you have any particular memories of officers who were at the depot at that time that stand out in your mind?
Gorson, that was the chap in charge of it on that photograph. He'd been abroad. And he did show an interest in the fellas. You know, like a family interest, really. I mean, he'd be straight with you. Because as I told you, I was sent on earth once to go down to Newcastle and get some blanco for the squad. Well, I had to get dressed, properly dressed and things like that. And good Lord, I said, he's a commander officer of the depot coming up, you know, and we just learned to salute. Anyhow, I'd done it perfect. They got to know who that little fellow was. And they got, and from there now, I was recommended for different things. But no, the railroad.
Any outstanding memories of NCOs?
And read that one again.
Any outstanding memories of any NCOs that stand out in your mind?
Well, like everything else in life, everybody's not perfect and it didn't go sailing. Now, I've known once the squad down the court, the last couple down there, trying to misbehave himself for one of the young lads, which was good looking and things like that. You know, the rumours went round where he got chased. What they call this, you know, conduct. He got chased. But, you know, but it is happening in life where the person is good looking and things like that, but he hasn't got the fire in him. And then somebody imposes on him and what's inclined to be that way. Well, there's always one somewhere. There's no to get away from the fact. But somebody gets found out better. And it is nothing. Then you're away, no bother. But there is that able part in that part of life, even when our boys get together. There's always that evil creeping in somewhere. But as long as you can master it, you won.
We haven't mentioned, when were you given weapons or a weapon? Mm-hmm. Was that in the very early stages?
Very early stage. You were given a rifle straight away, more or less, rifle and bayonet.
No, and what kind of bayonet was it?
The normal, the long one, the long type of bayonet. But the rifle wasn't, there's no fine pinning. Oh no, there's no fine pinning in the rifle. The bayonet was normal, which had to be kept clean. But there's no fine pin in the rifle. As a matter of fact, you got the ammunition in series of five, you know, see? Out the load in series of fives. Well, before you're doing any practice like that, the NCO was lying down opposite you as you're taking the load and unload and firing him. You examined it every time, even for all the dummies what you were using. And there was no firing pin in. But then, sure, nothing did happen. There was a check every time it was done, the NCO had to do it. Because you had dummy ammunition. Oh, yes. Well, you know, to get used, because instinctively, if you've done that many times, day in, day out, when you're reloading the fire, it come instinctively, you just did the automatic. I mean, it come normally. As a matter of fact, It's like a musician when he plays a note, then he knows the next note he's coming on to.
This would be the 303, was it?
303, the Enfield.
Now, you were giving it. How did you keep that clean?
Well, the old shaving was passed down like anybody did pass it down. Try and get an hold of an old shaving brush. That's what my father told me. He said, try and get an old shaving brush, and he said, you'll find it. And you know, you well over the shaving brush and things like that, and clean though, because regard the rifle, you can check any rifle, and you can find some fault. There's no getting away from it, even if it comes brand new out the factory, because if it didn't, it just blows through the air, isn't it? But, you know, you get them to have a perfect standard. But it's impossible to say there's no regular fault. That's what I would say.
And how do you keep the barrel clean?
Well, you've got a issue with a pull-through, which was in the stock of the rifle, you know, see? A little oil bottle and a pull-through, and using a bit flannel, what's called 4B2. You just tear a bit off, like with like 2 inches, and keep pulling it through, and you've got to clean. For all you never use it, fire it, you still have to keep cleaning it. Then, you know, some of them old battles what you got at Newcastle, they took a lot of cleaning, because not only did you get the issue with the ones what the squad had already used and handed in, you got issue with ones that had been standing years and years. That had been restarted on, you know. You didn't get the kit that is in a rifle battle and things like that being kept clean like with somebody else. You get one with me, you'd be issued with one with been standing for a long, long time, and it'd take time for the polish them.
So you're in the army and you had no problems on the discipline side?
No.
You took to the discipline really well?
I did, I took like a duck to water really, because I met two good friends, you know, really.
These were?
I met the chap, Oliver from West Hartlepool, Tommy Oliver. He's a good singer, he used to sing, Tommy. And this lad from Bermondley, Donoghue. And, you know, everybody, you always met it up with somebody like that, see? You didn't be good to anybody, I think, if you wanted to go with them, all well and good, but you got clicked together and you kept together and you felt safer with each other, you know, when you're together.
What initial stages of training did you go through?
Well, the first thing was to stand up straight and learn to walk in a straight line. And part of the kit was here, I forgot to tell you all you wish you with, what they call a regimental cane. I didn't tell you what, I really forgot about that. You got a regimental cane. Now you use that cane to walk with, and then how to salute with the cane, and how to drill with a cane.
What do they look like, these canes?
Well, they're just an ordinary stick would be about 2'6". Or 2 foot, we'll say, what they call the regimental cane. And that had to be cleaned as well, it had to be polished, the woodwork had to be polished, and the top, you know, with the daylight crest on, that had to be kept clean. And that's where the first learned you the drill of walk. Told you to walk in a straight line, you know, like, get your eye on an object and keep still and look the same height, you don't look down. And then you learn to walk. So, because I've known a chap, when he swing his hand, and both hands are going like that together, you know, and it was quite comical, but not many fellas you see do that, but a fella has done it, I think, a chap called Metcalf, I think they call him Metcalf, he only got used to walking, because, you know, he swing hands, and he was an exceptional fella, he used to swing 2 hands, well, you know, they didn't. Anyway, you get through that time, but your first initial was drilling with a cane.
Now you've mentioned marching with it. Huh? How did you use the cane in the drills?
Well, it was more or less resembling a rifle, really, carrying your arms. Because you had a certain way to pull it up, and certain ways it went under your arm, and then certain ways that you've got, and certain ways you're walking with. There's certain, about five or six movements with a cane, but it was really drilled with a cane first. We call the ready metal cane.
And did this very initial drill set off at the normal pace, or was you built up to light infantry pace?
Set up at the normal pace. Definitely. Just set up, you know, like easy going at a normal pace. As a matter of fact, you didn't get the about halfway through your real drilling period on your light infantry pace. Because your different formations, you learned out forming squad on the left and forming squad on the right and different things like that, and getting back in the single line, and it, you know, because we used to march in fours then. We used to march in fours. We were always drilling fours. Then you used to certain with that teach you how to get the shortest on the left and the smallest on the right in single rank five. And then they used to keep marching one that side, then. And as you see on the photograph, the tall fellas at the end and the smaller chaps are all in the middle. And they all different little drills like that.
So your initial drill was this marching drill?
And definitely.
And walking straight?
Walking straight.
Where did you move to from then?
Well, you've done very little weapon training, only holding and loading a rifle. That's all. Holding and loading a rifle. And drilling with the rifle, and presenting arms and things like that, but not like when you get on the battalion and things like that. You know, it's just yourself, and the ending up part of your drill was doing out the mount guards. That was the most important part had to be done.
Before we do that, how did they get you to time your movements together, so that you all came up together with your rifle or whatever? How was it done, to numbers or something?
Numbers. Was that say when it's up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, down. Eh? Always in numbers. But you said yourself, you didn't shout out loud like the Yankees do. The Yankees do when they got, oh no, that was in here. You taught out to do, but you never shouted that out. Otherwise, good God, you have 26 fellas shooting up one day. You'd be in chaos, wouldn't you? That'd be in your mind, where your numbers were.
Who drilled you?
The Lance Corporal started with you first. Then the Corporal, then the Sergeant, then the three of them together. There's always the three of them there all the time. And you had the same Lance Corporal, the same Corporal, and the same Sergeant when you finished your 6 months, which was said to be a 6 month training. They were with you all the time. And then we got changed over. Because you knew the voice, commands, and what to expect of them.
Did you find it difficult picking up the commands in the very beginning?
No. You've got to learn, but just like reading a book, you get to know what. That's next, that comes next, that's come next. You spend the night time, even what have been doing today, you know. And you're rehearsing yourself what you're doing. You think, you know, that was because you want to go on out to nowhere, you're in all the time. You might be allowed out the weekend. You could get out maybe the Saturday, or maybe you went tonight, but no more. You weren't allowed out. So therefore, you practice yourself what you do, what the detail was what you're going to do the next day. And you say, well, how do you do that, see? And the detail was what you're going to do the next day.
You mentioned that the ultimate, the high point of your drill was mounting guard.
Oh, yes, that was
what was the drill for mounting guard?
Very severe. No mistakes. It was ordinary, just ordinary formulation and things like that, but the routine, who goes first and what to be done last, you know, see? Because the inspection's got to be perfect, you know, you don't even get inspected by one.
And who would inspect you?
Well, when you do a battalion, when you get into a battalion, you get inspected by your normal orderly sergeant. Then you come to decide your major. He inspects you. Then they send you on to the battalion square. Then the battalion orderly sergeant inspects you. And then the officer of the day, he inspects you. So you go about five inspections, like that's on the normal, real ceremonial guard duties. Normal guard duties are like with a weapon, you know. And then when you say a certain period of time, you used to do what they call a full pack, you know, with a square pack on. Good Lord, and then that, getting that pack dead square and things like that, you know, there were different ways, it's a plywood and, you know, like made and packing out. But it was done.
How many people formed a guard?
Well, you used to mount guard and you'd have four fellas, four privates. Then you'd have a lance corporal of the guard and you'd have a sergeant of the guard. So that'd be six altogether. That's just like just an ordinary guard. And then once you get inspected, there's one chap termed as the cleanest one, was stick orderly.
And what was his job?
His job was to report to the regimental sergeant major and go and tell the sergeant major so and so on them. Or the bugler used to do that, or like that. But it was a personal like message, but they couldn't be blown up the bugle more or less. You had to go do that. You got to call stick orderly for the day. You spend that day on all your baranda doing what the RSM required of you.